Hey, it's Jason Rantz here. Looking to shed pounds safely? Follow my lead and secure your free consultation over at Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. They've uncovered the secret to losing up to a pound of fat a day. Their program prioritizes rapid weight loss and a metabolism reset without injections or drugs. With their dedicated staff offering unwavering support, you can reach your weight loss goals. From personal success, they not only help me reach my weight goals, but also maintain them. It's not just a program. It is a lasting lifestyle change. Learn more at EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. That's EastsideWeightLossClinic.com.
Dr. Ryan Coogan, D.C. Results may vary.
Coach! The yellow light!
I'm walking here!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rantz Show live on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live, audio and video on the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, you should download it immediately. There are quite a few of you not having a great commute right now, and that is what's trending.
Stuck in traffic.
So a rollover crash is blocking northbound I-5 near Arlington, and we're hearing and seeing on the map a nearly 10-mile backup. The crash involved two different cars. It happened 2:30-ish this afternoon. And the backup started at about 8 miles, according to King 5. I just saw Cairo 7 confirm that what they're seeing now is 10-mile backup. It's being diverted traffic to State Route 530, according to the Washington State Patrol. We do not have an ETA on when northbound I-5 near Arlington will reopen. We don't have any details on the cause of the crash beyond just the basics of an overturned vehicle, a rollover crash that's blocking I-5 near Arlington. Don't have any details on the condition of the drivers at this point either. But again, you should expect some significant backups on I-5 North right now, somewhere between, I guess, 8 and 10 mile backup, courtesy of this closure. If I were you and I were stuck in the office, just stay in the office for a bit. Go see a movie. I mean, after you listen to the full 3 hours of the show and then the rebroadcast of the first hour and the last hour of the show, but then go see a movie. I mean, what's the thing? You're going to go home, you're going to see your kids. I mean, you see them every day. Just relax a little bit. Not everything is about your kids. I'm kidding. To me, well, no, I'm kidding. Why you give me that look?
I mean, people want to see their children, right?
Okay, I was joking. I was really talking about the spouse not wanting to see them. But I feel like if I said that directly, people would take offense to that. But if I do it about kids, it would be okay. But what I meant was, you don't want to see your wife or husband.
That's but it depends all. On how long you've been married.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. Use this as an opportunity. Or how about this? God forbid, stay late and do some extra work. Oh, I know. We can't have that happen. People don't even want to go back into the, I don't want to work remotely, pretending you're actually working for 8 hours a day. Okay, push the button. He's looking for the button to push.
What's trending in the media?
So Woke 5 News has this report today about how gun violence disproportionately impacts quote-unquote black and brown people, which I find such a condescending way to talk about black and brown people. And yet, as I'm reading their report, they can't seem to figure out why that is. Why is there a disproportionate impact of gun violence against black people and Latinos? Why? So they decided to put the facing race team on it, which means we're not really going to get an answer. But what we will get is a giant virtue signal about how they're on the right side of the issues because they see things the way you do, which is hyper-focused on identity of all kinds. The Facing Race team over at King 5 News is embarrassing. It is a phony news team that was sort of founded out of the BLM movement. And this was all about just sending that signal that we're like you. We're on your side. Please watch us more. We get it. We hear you. And now we're focused on bringing you the stories from people who have been historically ignored by the white-dominated media. But the problem is, and you can tell just by watching some of their segments, the stories they pick are chosen to check some boxes so they can actually say that they're representing different groups without actually having to do much work to really, truly, quote-unquote, represent a different group. I don't know if it still exists, but a couple years ago, I was talking to a staff member there who told me that there was a literal checklist that they were using to ensure that they covered X amount of stories for people from marginalized communities. How many transgender stories do we do today? Because we need to hit our three for the day, or we're going to get scolded and have to take another DE&I training course. And I don't want to have to do that. Oh, because I complained about it, you're going to now force me into another one? Sorry, didn't mean to. Now, there is this story out today where they tackled the crime crisis, they tackled the disproportionality, and they managed to completely ignore one of the biggest reasons, actually two of the biggest reasons, why you have the crime crisis impacting these quote-unquote black and brown people the most. They completely ignore, number one, the criminal justice reforms that were pitched as a way to stop this very thing. And yet, what happened? Quite the opposite. They were hurt even more in these communities. They completely ignore that aspect of gun violence and crime just in general. They completely ignored that after they passed a whole bunch of different criminal justice reforms, bam, we started to see the surge in crime, particularly violent crime, hitting record highs in Seattle, in Tacoma, Spokane. I mean, it's outrageous. They don't mention that at all. They managed to completely ignore the claim that they used to put out there because BLM activists wanted them to, that black people are being mowed down by cops. Cops are going into communities from Kenmore to Puyallup looking for black people to murder. We were told that. The whole reason they're even doing this kind of story from the Facing Race team, the entire reason was because of a total lie about police officers in this country, which propelled the BLM movement to be as divisive and dangerous and destructive as it was in 2020 into 2022. Thank God that movement as a whole is dead. The activists are still there, but they're not using BLM specifically. Even they realized, oh, I guess it is a scam to make a certain group of people wealthy at the top of the BLM movement. They were spending our money to get new entertainment pads, really? Oh, but this was for security? Oh, okay, right. Weird how everyone stopped talking about that. No one in the media, outside of every once in a while conservative media talking about this, no one wants to touch that anymore. But the entire reason there's even a Facing Race team to do this silly story is because of a lie that was told post-George Floyd. We had George Floyd's happening all over the place, except when you actually looked at the data and suggested, actually, that didn't happen. So they don't get into that. They don't get into any substance, at least in fairness, based upon what is written. They've got a video report. We'll play it in a second. This is really meant to pitch into tonight's, I'm assuming, five-minute feature, which I'm not going to play for you. Don't worry. I might hate myself, but I don't hate you nearly enough to do that too. But in the written piece, I guess maybe they could add some stuff that's not there. They don't talk about it at all. There's just no substance. What they do tell us, instead of answering the question, which is, well, why is there a disproportionate impact on black and brown communities with gun violence? What they do tell us is that women are doing all the work, especially in King County, to tackle this issue. It's women. So they made it about black and brown people and then women. That's three boxes they got to check off. And they didn't, at least not yet, include a transgender person. It could be in the video, though. It might be in the video, so that would give them another box to check. Now, number one, it's not true that women are doing all of the work. That's a stupid comment. I don't even understand where they got that from. They're doing all, that's it, just women? Define woman. Oh, yeah, I caught you. And then number two, if that were true, let's just say for a moment, women are the only ones who are tackling this crisis. Well, they failed big time. So I don't know if you're doing women any favor by putting this on them. But here's the report, the preview. Sharon Yu is the reporter.
Gun violence is on the rise in King County, and black and brown people are disproportionately affected by it. So what is being done to address the issue?
Okay, she's setting it up. What is being done to address the issue? It's a very specific question.
And these are people that were lost to gun violence.
From personal experiences of loss to communities that are tired of always watching out for violence, women in King County have taken responsibility to ask for more resources of protection and support. The women are working in tandem with government officials to see that systemic issues that lead to acts of violence are addressed in meaningful ways.
Systemic issues leading to violence. It's always about systemic issues. Okay. Do they address any of the quote-unquote systemic issues? No, not really.
I feel like this area has been forgotten about. And it's like, why, when 23rd and Jackson is so rich? It's so many businesses around here. And now there's a lot of women-owned black businesses around here, right? All didn't feel protected.
I don't understand what that had anything to do with this. But okay, thank you for mentioning that. Do they even come close to hinting at what they're talking about? I guess when they say systemic issues, but what does that mean? Now, again, in fairness, we shouldn't judge this purely by the video because the full video isn't up there. But the story is rather lengthy. So I'm guessing that that is the full product that just has not been posted as a video yet. So I read this whole piece. It's like most of the Facing Race team work, needlessly long. It doesn't need to be nearly as long as it is because they don't even tell you anything. There's not one mention about how maybe keeping bad guys out of jail might impact negatively the crime statistics. And when you already know that in certain neighborhoods, there's higher likelihood of crime, you might want to just point to that one issue that perhaps if we're truly serious about stopping in particular gun violence, maybe we ought to go a little bit more harshly on criminals, especially the ones who are caught after committing a violent crime, instead of saying, well, sure, the 19-year-old did commit a drive-by shooting, but, you know, kids, boys will be boys. Boy, which was actually an argument that was made at a story 2 years ago. I remember it perfectly. Boys will be boys. They're sometimes violent. No. I'll certainly grant you that men or males are more likely to commit drive-by shootings than females. That's usually the case, but it's not because they're men. It's because they end up getting into a gang. Drive-by shootings are almost always tied to gang membership. Almost always. But they don't talk about that, do they? They don't talk about defunding the police and what impact that had on communities, quote-unquote, of color. The ones we were told desperately wanted to keep cops out. They didn't want them in their neighborhoods. Black neighborhoods, they did not want any cops, we were told. I mean, we weren't told by actual black people who live in the communities. We were told that mostly by white people and some black activists who believe that ACAB, that we should abolish the police and instead put all that funding into community services within that one community and bam, we'd be so much better off. But then when you actually talk to black people, which again, lots of reporters chose not to do, they were like, well, no, we don't want to kick cops out of our neighborhoods. We have a crime crisis here. Why would we want to kick them out? They might say, I would prefer some minor reforms. Sure, okay, I'll go with that. Everyone has an idea. Sometimes it's based on a reality. Other times, it's based on a misconception about policing. But I get it if you have some ideas for reforms you think are necessary. There weren't black communities saying, keep cops out of our neighborhoods. But when you took cops out of the neighborhoods, when you defunded them, when you demoralized cops to the point where they quit in huge numbers, what did you do? You left communities that were already dealing with violence, you left them even more vulnerable. So the folks who pushed the defund movement, that led to these communities, quote unquote, disproportionately being impacted by gun violence. Does not get mentioned in this story at all. But kudos to the women who are standing up and trying to tackle this issue. They put this in the story. According to King County's latest data, black youth are 4 times more likely than white youth to be killed with a gun. Statistically, that's true. They don't explain why. Instead, what do? They pivot. They pivot to someone who's an expert in the field, or they just happen to be female, I guess. They quote her talking about how, quote, the pandemic only exacerbated the systemic inequities that have historically set people of color behind. This includes economic inequities, lack of access, and disparities in education. Now, they don't tell us what the lack of access is two. I do not know. They do not say. Black people, Latinos, Asians, whites, everyone has access to exactly the same things. You might not get the same outcomes when you have access to whatever it is you're talking about, but it is against the law to deny someone access on the basis of skin color, religion, gender, which is precisely why they never tell you specifically what they don't have access to. But they say it anyway. Now, they say disparities in education. I'm assuming that means they're looking at grades and maybe funding that goes into certain school districts. I'm assuming that that's the case. Economic inequities. Okay. I mean, you can pretend that that's tied to something systemic if you'd like. But we've heard that argument before, haven't we? That if you're poor, you will be more likely to commit acts of violence, which is just absurd. Poverty does not lead to violent criminal acts. There have been plenty of people who are listening right now who have been poor, or maybe you're poor right now, if that's your definition. Poor is kind of subjective sometimes. But did you commit a whole bunch of murders as a result of being low income? No. That's an excuse that is made to justify the violence so that you don't actually punish the person for committing that criminal act. That's all that there is. Now, I always ask a question that never gets answered or even raised because it might be deemed too controversial and racist. Is it possible that there are any cultural issues at play? Just a little bit? Because we look at some communities, for example, the Asian American community. There are some cultural issues there that are positive, right? A focus on education. Latinos, when you look at the Latino community, there is a focus on family and religion. When you look at Jews, we have a community that, generally speaking, pushes us to become doctors or lawyers. I mean, that's mostly true. But I mean, there are positives and there are sometimes negatives. Is there possibly some negative aspects here that we're not talking about? That maybe there's lots of folks within the Black community that teach folks to hate cops? Could that maybe play a little bit of a role? Glorifying violence in rap music, does that play a little bit of a role? Maybe. Especially when you tie it to the family. Because what's one thing that we know, quote unquote, disproportionately impacts the Black community in particular? When it comes to family, what do we know? We know that there are too many fatherless households. And I looked up the stats, or I told AI to look up the stats and give me sources so I would make sure that it's true, because, you know, I'm busy. And what did they tell us? 57.5% of Black children, 31% of Hispanic children, and 20% of white children are living without their biological fathers in the households, according to the National Center for Fathering. Now, I found another study, another stat that's slightly different from that, but slightly. Generally speaking, we're dealing with pretty much the same kinds of data, which is you have a large number of Black households for a variety of reasons that are missing a father figure. I'm willing to bet, and this trends across all races, when you've got juveniles in particular committing crimes, you can trace it back to a broken home. Whether they're Black, Latino, Native American, white, multiracial, if they're Asian but you think they're Latino, or vice versa, same thing. When you have young people committing especially violent crimes, I'm not talking about the Butterfinger getting lifted from the 7-Eleven. That has nothing to do, generally speaking, with broken families. But the kid who ends up going into a gang, yeah, almost a guarantee that you're talking about a broken family. And yet, you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to point that out. Which is where my big issue is with, you know, facing race teams and whatnot. They talk about what's being done. Well, you're not doing anything. You're not pointing out what the actual problem is. You're telling us an end result of a problem you have misdiagnosed. And thus, you're not actually addressing the underlying cause. It's like with homelessness. Do any of the folks on the radical left who have all of these brilliant ideas of how to go after a big issue, do they go after the drug addiction? No, they just say, let's put them in a house. And they think they've actually addressed something, but they haven't. And thus, what continues to happen? Well, community continues to be disproportionately impacted by gun violence. But you tell me you care deeply about it, so I'm supposed to just give you kudos, pat you on the back, and say, well, you know, at least you care. I would argue if you truly cared, you would do something more than the surface level drivel, which is That's all we're getting here. That is all we get from King 5 in this story. And it's not going to end because King 5 doesn't really care. They have zero interest. Truthfully, they have no interest in this. This is as a big picture issue. They just like to say systemic racism and then call it a day. Because many people in the activist community give them credit for saying that. Meanwhile, if you talk to actual people in communities who are being impacted, they will tell you what they think is wrong, and they will ask you specifically for help that they never get. Whenever you create these groups that you tokenize for either political gain or for ratings, whatever it is, regardless of the group, when you tokenize, you completely ignore the actual issues that they face, and you end up making things worse. But weirdly, you get some social currency for publishing some garbage about systemic inequities. Yeah, we're so proud of you. You learned a new word. Good for you. Get the woke word of the day calendar. Push the button.
What's trending? Wait, what?
This video is insane out of Eugene, Oregon, where a man is just going about his day. He was going into like this corner store. It's called the Quick Trip Market. 3 seconds after he goes into the store, a giant saw blade comes rolling down a hill from a nearby construction site, hits the exact spot he was in 3 seconds earlier. He had no idea it was there. None whatsoever. It gets stuck in the side of this building. We're not entirely sure, at least we're not positive as to where this came from. We're making a general guess because there's a construction site nearby, and there was some speculation via KEZI that, hey, Northwest Natural Gas is doing some work with contractors there. They obviously have this kind of equipment. Maybe some bolts were loose. God, Boeing better not have touched this. Maybe there's some bolts got loose and the thing just ran down this hill. He was 3 seconds away from dying. His name is Shane. He spoke with KGW.
I mean, I was thinking maybe it's my time, but I don't think I would have survived being touched by that thing.
There would be zero chance. He would be in two different pieces, right? I mean, it would have cut him down the middle. And it actually was quite impressive how it didn't fall over, this saw. It's insane. The first thing I thought of when I saw this story, and you wouldn't know this because you're too new to the show, Producer Jackson, but I have this fascination with death now. I'm almost obsessed with it because my life is now half over because I turned 29 for the 14th year, and I'll probably be dead way earlier than half my life. So I'm probably even more than half over with my life. And so I've been thinking about death a lot. When you get stories like this, it just reminds you that quite literally at any point in your life, it could just end. You won't see it coming. You won't have any premonition. You won't have any feeling that if you turn around, you'll see this big saw coming down or a bus about to hit you. You can just be walking around and someone else gets into a car accident and then hits you and you're dead. Just like that. And then I think of that dumb song, Live Like You Were Dying, the country song. We talk about that a lot, and yet we do nothing. We change nothing. There's not anything differently that I will do on the way home knowing that I could get hit by a bus when I cross the street. In fact, there's a high likelihood that I will get hit. Someone in this building was hit by a truck that was coming up this street, nearly died. Still wasn't enough to put in a stop sign or a stoplight, though. But this is a pedestrian-friendly city. So it's just one of those stories. So the moral of this story is you could be getting hit by a rolling saw blade. Just turn around. Although if he turned around, he probably would have gotten hit. It would have stopped him from moving fast enough because that thing was coming down fast. The video's online. It's gone viral. Fox News has it. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, our local tax expert and advocate Greg Nunn wants you to know the IRS is going after those older cases very aggressively. So if you got a form CP-504 directly from the IRS, do not ignore it. Be proactive. Resolve your situation if you owe money now. Call Greg Nunn of Nunn Better Tax Resolution, NUNN, Nunn Better Tax Resolution.
Northwest University in Kirkland is creating new STEM graduate degrees designed to take your technology career to a whole new level. Listen as Dr. Roland DeCauthen discusses an exciting new program for IT professionals.
The demand for IT management professionals is soaring, and we're meeting the need with a Master of Science in Information Technology Management program. Students graduating from this program will not only be equipped as experts in IT, but they'll also be experts in how their work integrates with the entire organization. One-third of the program directly borrows from the MBA classes like organizational management and financial management. This means that they'll be able to adopt a holistic approach to IT, appreciating its business implications and devising solutions that elevate the entire organization.
Northwest University offers graduate programs that build your career and grow your faith. Learn more at northwestu.edu.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore the stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start with a little bit of good news. We told you in the last segment that there was an overturned car accident on I-5 northbound right near Arlington. It created a whole lot of traffic. It has now been cleared. However, it's going to take some time for the backup to clear up, according to the Washington State Department of Transportation. It is, in fact, about 10-mile backup right now, but things should start to be moving. I don't quite understand, in cases like this, other than just people don't know how to drive, where if it's now completely open, why it shouldn't clear up relatively quickly, and yet for some reason, it still takes quite a lot of time. I get that everyone was stopped, but at some point, it's like when the person in front of you moves, then you move. So it shouldn't take that long, but it always does. I'm sure that there's some reason behind it. I can never figure it out.
I think you answered it. It's because people don't know how to drive.
Is that the only reason?
I think so.
But the thing is, it's empty. There's nothing there anymore. They cleared it. So what do you... Like, I get if you're driving past a car accident, all of us want to look. Every single one of us does, in fact, look. We're not supposed to because it slows. We do it anyway, right? So the risky ones will try to sneak in some photos, even though cops are all over the place. But if it's not there anymore, what's the issue? Other than feeling uncomfortable being at the start of the slowdown. And it's like, okay, do I really go or is this a trap? They're not tricking you. They told you to go. It's okay. You can move. I don't get it. But the good news is, again, it should start clearing up pretty quickly. They did say the traffic was being diverted to SR 530. That's no longer going to be the case unless, of course, you, I guess, want to go down SR 530. But for most people, that probably will not work. But delays are still going to be the glass half full way to look at this is more time to be listening to the show.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, you know, it benefits me.
That's so, all we care about.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't do this for free. I do need people to actually tune in and listen and go to our sponsors and tell them you heard about it on the show. So just more of an opportunity. So for fans of the show, not that you should wish car accidents, but you should wish inexplicably bad driving that leads to more traffic. I'm being honest. You know, we're all thinking it. Yeah. I'm just the only one who says it. Now, that might be a bad idea, but at least I'm being honest. Imagine your kid just for a moment. For those of you who've got kids who are 17, 18 years old, saying for the first time, maybe, I actually want to go to college. And you're saying to yourself, oh, thank God. He or she's finally motivated to go to, where do you want to go to school, honey? And then they disappoint you a little bit by saying Western Washington. But yeah, we can be honest about Western. Like, oh, really? I mean, okay, beggars can't be choosers. I'd prefer you go to Gonzaga or something, PLU. We'll pay for it. But if you want to go to Western, okay, fine. Why? Well, they have a cannabis certification program. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I wish you were unmotivated again. I know we're supposed to get rid of the whole stigma attached to working in the weed industry. Personally, I don't care if, like, the stigma doesn't impact me. I don't hold any of it. But parents probably will, even the ones who are uber progressive and love weed when your kids are out, on a weekend field trip or something. You're like, yeah, we finally get to get high. And even you're probably feeling just like a little bit of, like, really, kid? Really? You want me to pay for you to get high? Mom, it's not me getting high. It's just so dumb. It's about, like, making sure there's the right amount of THC in tinctures. Do you even know what a tincture is? Yeah, I know what a tincture is.
I don't think I know what that is.
Just like a little liquid. It's, what do you don't know what a tincture is?
I don't dabble in that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
A tincture is not just weed.
Oh.
It's oh my God. Now you're going to Google that and you're going to figure that out. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Because now I'm wondering if I will say it correctly and then I want to embarrass myself in front of people. But Western is now offering some new online certification classes, specifically a course on how to develop and design cannabis gummies, chocolates, oils, and more. Como said, it's called the Cannabis Product Development and Design Certificate. And it allows the opportunity to, quote, delve deep into the science of cannabis extraction, how to craft exceptional products that cater to a variety of preferences and needs and strategies for building a compelling cannabis brand. They're partnering with Green Flower, which partners with universities and colleges to provide this kind of curriculum. The CEO of Green Flower, Max Simon, said, "We're teaching people how to make cannabis products. That includes all sorts of different kinds of products, from edibles to tinctures to topicals to concentrates and more." Now, don't ask me to tell you the difference between topicals, tinctures, and what was that last one? Concentrates. I mean, I guess a topical is just something you put on yourself, but I don't know the difference between concentrates and tinctures.
I mean, I just learned that word, so I don't either.
I mean, you could Google it and then do it quickly, and then you can get in my ear and tell me what it is.
Message received.
But you're still staring at me. You're not even typing. Okay, now he's typing. I am kind of curious about that. Max Simon said, "Pot product manufacturing is a growing business with people seeking products not just for recreation, but for sleep, pain, depression, and more." Certainly true. I've gone through a bit of waffling on this issue. I still find myself in the legalize weed camp. I think you can make an argument from a conservative perspective as to why that is. That does not mean I endorse you getting high. If you're an adult, you can do what you think is best for you. I'm not going to get high. But I did remember we just had a story, a new study that came out that should, at a bare minimum, give just a little bit of pause to consider weed, given it felt like this was kind of rushed into legalization because it was the cool thing to do at the time, without thinking about the unintended consequences. like encouraging more people inherently to smoke or vape or whatever it is they're doing. This study was founded by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. It's part of the National Institute of Health, so it's a government-funded study. It found that daily use of weed, predominantly through smoking, was associated with a 25% increased likelihood of heart attack and a 42% increased likelihood of stroke when compared to non-use of the drug. Now, it's possible that it's not a causal relationship, that maybe someone who's more likely to smoke weed may live an unhealthier lifestyle than someone who chooses not to, and that could play a role. But look, 25% increase in heart attack and 42% increase in stroke, like, yeah, that's pretty considerable. If you told me it was like 1% of either, you know, that could be explained away by anything. And, you know, you get to make your own. We do things where there's 1% risk of something bad happening all the time. It's 1%, doesn't really impact most people. I can't do the math all the way, but it's like, I think 99 out of 100 people are totally okay. It's that one person who isn't. What's the difference between, what was it, tinctures and concentrates?
A tincture is defined as a trace of something.
Within a liquid?
Yes, presumably.
Well, that matters, because then if it wasn't, then a edible would be a tincture.
Yeah.
But that's food.
Yeah. And then it's also defined as a medicine made by dissolving a drug in alcohol. So,
Well, that's also true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how back when my grandparents were kids, they would go to the ye olde shop at the end of the corner and they would say, I have a heartburn. Give me a tincture. And then they would give grandpapa a tincture and he would take it and not feel any better because it was always a scam. That's it.
Yeah,
you want to I knew what a tincture was. I was saying, what's the difference between that and a concentrate?
Well, a concentrate, it says, is a form of a substance that has had the majority of its base component removed.
Oh, okay. I mean, I knew that. I knew that. But other people didn't. I wanted to get the scientific reasoning.
Not everyone's as smart as you.
Well, so. That's obvious. I still don't really know what the difference is. In Graham, a Walgreens employee was violently attacked and stabbed by a man that he was helping, according to the police. And I've got a few questions about this story. It obviously happened, but the victim in this, who again is very clearly a victim, he's already up and walking and giving interviews, and you know, he's got a sling and he did end up getting stabbed, although not at first. At first, he clearly thought he was going to get stabbed and was in a horrible position. He spoke to Cairo 7 TV. It happened on Saturday afternoon, they said around 1:30. He was working his shift at the Walgreens. A man comes in and was very polite and said, hey, can I use your phone to order a cab? And he said, okay, here's the phone. He did the, you know, the nice thing, although probably against the rules. I don't think you're allowed to give people the phone for this, the workplace, so he's probably going to be fired now. But they'll wait a little bit because it would be bad optics if they did it now. But he was talking to the person on the other line. They didn't have a cab nearby, which, hey, dum-dum, that's normal. Cabs, that's why there's Uber and Lyft. He, at that point, got irate. He got irate. And he ended up going after this poor kid, Jordan.
He just flashed immediately and started yelling how he said, quote unquote, I'm a trained Marine, I get paid to kill. He grabs my hoodie kind of like this and twists it and like pulls me, puts the knife to my throat. I felt the cold from the blade on my neck, and right then and there, I was like, he's gonna kill me. I'm gonna die. And then I felt him, whoosh, like one solid motion and everything, I felt the pressure.
He felt the pressure. Now, it wasn't actually the knife that he was feeling, or not the edge of the knife that he was feeling on his neck, because it hadn't come out at that point. So it ended up just scratching him. Now, that's terrifying enough. But once I saw that, I was like, okay, well, where's the stabbing? That's not a stab. I saw the little thing on his neck that was like a little scratch. Oh, and then he actually did get stabbed. Then it got really serious very quickly because he escapes the man's grasp. And that's when he said he ended up getting stabbed in the back.
I felt that first one go into my bone. I felt it just leave my bone. Like if you're pulling a nail out of wood, it was kind of like that. But yeah, sure.
Well, you know, I question a little bit of that. I think it was just his flesh. It didn't go into his bone, right? I think it went into his bone.
I think they said he had like a broken shoulder or something. Or,
well, maybe he's just brittle.
Didn't drink enough milk when he was a kid.
Like, what's the chances of not only just hitting the bone, but at such a force that you go into the bone? Like, oh my God, how is he up and running? How is he out of the hospital? It happened on Saturday. Stabbed through the bone? Maybe it doesn't hurt as bad as it does in my head.
Maybe.
Right? I mean, maybe it's just not as serious.
I've never been stabbed, so I couldn't tell you, but...
Oh, what a wimp. You've not lived until you got stabbed.
I'm traumatized because I had to go through it, but, like, they had to sit there and watch all that. They had to witness, you know, they had to witness something real scary to for anybody to be a part of.
Jeez. Seriously, how is this kid already out of the hospital? He seems, other than, you know, physically, you can see that he was injured. He seems to be doing really well. I feel like I would be traumatized, and I would not go out. I certainly wouldn't go back to the Walgreens 2 days later, even if it's just for an interview.
Maybe he was like a hockey player, and he's just, you know, they can bounce back from injuries really quickly. And like,
is that true? I don't know.
Yeah, and
why not football? Because he's gangly. Because he's a little lanky.
Yeah.
He's rude. It's really rude. You're gonna downgrade him to a hockey player?
I mean, I love
hockey. Why? Because of his facial hair. Well, kudos, good for this kid. I'd like to talk to him. Let's try to track him down. I want to interview him. Because it truly is. I know it sounds like I'm being sarcastic here. It's quite impressive that he's able. And by the way, talk about lucky. You're getting stabbed in the back, unlucky enough to hit your bone, shattering, I guess, your clavicle or whatever it was that was shattered from behind. And you're back up and sound healthy again. Like, that's insane. Kudos to this kid. We don't have any details beyond that as to who this guy is. Don't know if he really is a, you know, military veteran. Could be suffering from PTSD. I don't know, but my God. 1-800-465-877. And when we come back, you choose the story. Story number one. A rare human case of highly contagious bird flu has just been confirmed in Texas. Will we all die within the next few hours as a result? Or story number two. 90210 alum Tori Spelling reveals the shocking reason behind divorce. Can't be that shocking. And who cares about Tori Spelling? You do? Oh, okay, then vote. 1-800-465-877. It's a Jason Rand Show.
Northwest University in Kirkland is creating new STEM graduate degrees designed to take your technology career to a whole new level. Listen as Dr. Rolanda Cawthon discusses an exciting new program for IT professionals.
The demand for IT management professionals is soaring, and we're meeting the need with a Master of Science in Information Technology Management program. Students graduating from this program will not only be equipped as experts in IT, but they'll also be experts in how their work integrates with the entire organization. One-third of the program directly borrows from the MBA classes like organizational management and financial management. This means that they'll be able to adopt a holistic approach to IT, appreciating its business implications and devising solutions that elevate the entire organization.
Northwest University offers graduate programs that build your career and grow your faith. Learn more at northwestu.edu.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand, And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rand Show.
Indeed you do, and you are curious, not about Tori Spelling, thank God. I mean, how shocking could it be why they got a divorce? I didn't even know she was married. I never heard of her husband. Who's Dean McDermott? Is he an actor?
Never heard of him.
I now find myself actually kind of interested in who he is. But you want to know whether or not we're going to die within the next few hours, courtesy of birds that are sneezing everywhere. There is a rare bird disease, a bird flu, an avian influenza that is apparently very pathogenic. H5N1 bird flu. And according to the CDC, a person in Texas just tested positive for it. The statement says this person had exposure to dairy cattle in Texas, presumed to be infected with a H5N1 virus. They say, which is odd because it's a bird flu, but he got it while going, I think it's a he, while being with some cattle. The patient reported eye redness consistent with conjunctivitis as their only symptom and is recovering. The patient was told to isolate and is being treated with an antiviral drug or flu, drug for flu. When you all tell us that this is a very contagious and dangerous disease, a virus, but then you say we just told the person to isolate, you're telling me either you're lying about the severity or you're trying to kill us all and have this thing spread. You can't have it both ways. It can't be serious and deadly and easy to spread, but then not say we're bringing them in so we can monitor and ensure that they stay healthy and stay away from people, right? It feels odd. This is not like a COVID that you get it. You cough a few times and pretend to have long COVID so people feel sorry for you, even though that's not really even a thing according to the latest data, right? I don't get this one.
They're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah. They say the CDC said this is the second case of a human testing positive in the United States after a previous case was observed in Colorado in 2022. They say this infection does not change the H5N1 bird flu human health risk assessment for the U.S. general public, which CDC considers to be low. However, people with close or prolonged unprotected exposures to infected birds or other animals, including livestock, or to environments contaminated by infected birds or other animals, are at greater risk of infection. They say last week, dairy cows in Texas and Kansas were reported to be infected with the bird flu, and federal agriculture officials later confirmed the infections in a Michigan dairy herd that had recently received cows from Texas. This bird flu was first identified as a threat to people during a 1997 outbreak in Hong Kong, according to the AP, where more than 460 people have died in the past two decades from bird flu infections, according to the World Health Organization. That's it. I mean, one death is one death too many. But 460 in a decade? That's not alarming at all.
No, not really.
Right? I mean, more people die from the regular human flu.
Yeah, thousands.
Than that. In a year, you're going to get more than that. So why are they pretending? I get why it's bad for animals, but that part I get. But I don't understand why we're going overboard showing people in these like covered completely head to toe in hazmat gear as they're testing soil samples that some bird coughed into. I will say this. Do you remember, how old are you?
28.
28 years old. You probably won't. Well, no, you might remember this. You were probably 18. It might have been a decade ago. Remember when the swine flu and bird flu were just like everywhere it was spreading?
Oh,
like
yeah, crazy? I remember that.
Oh, I got it. I can't remember which one I got. I think it was the bird, right? I think it was the bird flu. I don't remember. Whichever one was big 10 years ago. And I got so sick. I had never been so sick with the flu. It's like the flu times a billion. It was what COVID was supposed to be, but didn't turn out to be. It was like that. And they gave me, I think they gave me Tamiflu eventually. But when I went in to see my doctor at, I want to say it was the Polyclinic or Swedish, I don't remember. They were in full gear. They had every inch of themselves covered to tell me, yeah, here's Tamiflu, just go take it. Which they could have done over the phone, but this was before we allowed for telehealth, I guess. And I remember laying in bed, starting to hallucinate. I felt like I was floating. I was so sick. It was the weirdest condition. Like, if I knew what tripping on shrooms was like while also having the flu, I would presume that that's how it would have felt like. That's how bad it was.
I can't believe we didn't shut the country down for 2 years for
that.
I
know. Isn't that weird? Although, that was a huge story. It was spreading like crazy. It was, at least to the extent that it spread, it was relatively new. But my God, we did not react anywhere close to the way we reacted with COVID. And while I haven't had COVID yet, so I can't tell you how it feels, I'm willing to bet that that was worse. Certainly, if I were to get COVID today, based on the current strain, my throat maybe would be a little itchy, I guess. It wouldn't be anywhere near either the bird flu or swine flu. Maybe it was swine flu. I don't remember which one I had. It was so long ago. But it was one of them. I was one of the unlucky ones. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. So everyone, you'll be fine with the bird flu. Unless they're lying to us, it's imminent and we're all going to die.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.